Petersburg Municipal Power and Light invited contractors to bid on the backup diesel generator project this past fall. All of the bids came in at least 50% higher than the $1.9 million estimate from the city's engineer. City staff subsequently recommended the city council reject those bids. Electric Superintendent Joe Nelson explained the situation to the city council Monday.
As near as we can tell, the bid openings were just before Christmas, and it's been kind of hard putting people together over the holidays, but we did get back with the estimator, and where they really missed the boat was on the labor portion of it. They had the equipment pretty well nailed down, but on the installation, the site work, and all of that, they way underestimated on that. And so we ended up with a real bust between the engineer's estimate, our budget, and the actual low bid.
The bids ranged from $2.8 to $3.3 million, which Nelson said was a reasonable spread for a job this size. However, that's well over what the utility had budgeted for the project.
I guess what we'd like to do and what we're kind of asking permission to do is to reevaluate and adjust the scope of the project. Quite a bit of this project was done with the future in mind, too, of adding a second unit at some time down the way. So, for instance, the shed roof over the top of it was large enough for actually two units. The concrete slab that they'll sit on was actually large enough for two units as opposed to one.
So, among other refinements, Nelson said he'd like to go back and delete the shed roof since the generator unit, known as a cat in the can, are in a container that's built to sit outside. Nelson also suggested the city could get rid of an optional fence, make the concrete pad smaller, and purchase the generator and other major equipment directly from the manufacturer rather than through the contractor. A couple of councilors questioned whether cutting back too much might be short-sighted, considering Nelson expects the city will eventually need a second new generator.
Yes, how soon are you going to need the second one? I'm concerned about cutting the pad in half and getting rid of the roof. We're going to need it in the near future.
I wish I had a good answer. That's a very good question. I wish I had a good answer for that, but it just depends on our growth. I'm hoping that this unit will get us by for, say, 3 to 4 years. But if we spent the money now, of course, it's a lot cheaper than spending it 3 or 4 years from now.
For instance, instead of getting one transformer now that can serve two generators, the city would have to buy a second transformer in the future, which would jack up the cost, according to Nelson. If necessary, the city has access to more than $1.9 million in funding for the project. Local voters approved bonding for up to $3 million for electrical generation and transmission improvements in 2009. But just re-engineering the project to fit the city's current budget could cost another $10,000 to $20,000, according to Nelson's rough estimate. That concerned Councillor John Haverlick.
The engineer is the one who misquoted on this, or was about $1 million off on his quote? Or
no, the main engineer architect, Ben Haight, actually hired an estimator to do that. So I guess the follow-up to that would be, was why would I go back with the same individual?
Right.
Yeah, I do feel comfortable with his work. It's just the estimator that messed up.
The council voted unanimously to go with Nelson's recommendation to reject all the bids and reevaluate the project. Also Monday, the council unanimously passed the Mountain View Manor rent increase in its third and final reading. The ordinance change allows the city to adjust the rent for the facility's 8 self-pay independent living apartments each year based on annual market rates set by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation for similar units. The current ordinance lists fixed rates for those units. This coming year, that would mean rent for a one-bedroom independent living apartment in the new building would go up by $165 a month to $1,190. Rent for a two-bedroom unit will increase by $142 for a total monthly cost of $1,367. The ordinance also increases the basic rental rate for the 12 assisted living units to $1,025 a month, which is still fixed and below the market rate, according to the city. The Manor Committee has been meeting since July to try and tackle the assisted living wing's ongoing deficit of up to $400,000 a year. There was no comment on the measure at Monday's meeting, but earlier in the day on KFSK's Council Corner program, Councillor John Haverlick said the increase was a necessity and more needed to be done.
My concern is we need to take more serious steps, either look at shutting the assisted living part down, converting it all to elderly housing, going as a nonprofit for that whole area. We need to take a lot of serious measures, even more than the rent increase, because I don't think the town's going to be able to subsidize it to that amount for long periods. And we've got to make it up, and hopefully the committee, you know, when they meet again in the New Year's, going to even look at taking more action to get closer to closing the gap.
The rent increase is only expected to help with annual operating deficits at the manor. It will not affect the $200,000 the city pays from its general fund each year to cover the manor's bond debt, while local voters authorize the city to bond for up to $3.3 million to help pay for the project in 2004. The city has not increased property taxes to pay for that bond. At the time of the vote, some project supporters and city officials said they expected the new wing would make enough money to pay for itself. The new rates go into effect March 1st. In other news, Monday night, the council gave its approval for the state's Alcohol Beverage Control Board to issue two liquor license renewals at the Bottle Shop and the Harbor Liquor Store and Bar, as well as a new restaurant liquor license for Papa Bear's Pizza. The council also agreed to allow the Harbor Board Chair and the Harbor Master to travel to Juneau to help lobby for harbor project funding. Meanwhile, the council agreed to use a fairly standard process for City Manager Scott Hahn's first yearly evaluation. Mayor Al Dwyer outlined the basic procedure.
Each councilor will complete an evaluation form independently and return their completed evaluations to the clerk. An accumulative evaluation will be prepared and reviewed with the city manager by the mayor and another council member chosen by the council.
Councilor Haverlick volunteered for that job. Dwyer was hopeful the council would schedule a meeting with Hahn to discuss his evaluation before the end of the month. Typically, evaluations are done behind closed doors in executive session. However, the employee may request an open public session. And finally, last night, the council discussed whether it should continue to require that city leaseholders have pollution insurance. The issue has primarily affected John Mergus, who runs a boat haul-out business on leased city land at Scow Bay. City Clerk Kathy O'Rear said the pollution insurance requirement has been in city leases since the city attorney revised the language in 2006. According to O'Rear, there have been three leases since then, including Mergus's Island Ventures, Petersburg Economic Development Council's cold storage, and GCI's fiber optic equipment shack.
Mr. Mergus's Island Ventures is the only one I'm aware of that has an actual pollution
policy.
There should be two other ones that do. I'm not aware if they actually do have them or not. It's something that is tracked. But I know that Johns does say right on his certificate of insurance that he has pollution coverage.
O'Rear said the city manager and attorney were taking another look at the issue. The requirement costs Mergus' small business an additional $5,000 a year. Councilor Dan Hickman, who originally raised the concern, said that was not affordable.
I was hoping that we could come up with some language of some kind that would satisfy everybody and relieve the expense that Mr. Mergus, who happens to be the person involved here, could live with. But obviously, I guess we're not there yet as far as the legal legal language, because I don't think you should be singled out if no other leasees in town have that requirement.
Other counselors were sympathetic. Councilor Rick Braun said insurance of this type often costs a lot for very little coverage, but he wasn't sure about eliminating the requirement altogether.
If you had a leasee that ran into financial difficulty and then had a problem with a spill or something like that, it could be very hard to get them to clean it up if they didn't have any money. And so we'd be stuck with it.
The councilors briefly touched on the possibility of requiring a bond rather than insurance, or possibly having the lessee put money into some sort of fund that they'd get back, like a deposit. The council took no action on the issue, since city staff are still working on it. Mergus's insurance policy expires in March. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.